Today's scripture is Acts 10, 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's go ahead and pray together this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to be here on this Easter day. We ask, oh God, that your word that we have just heard and the words that you've given me to speak, oh Lord, that they may resonate and they may just fall where they need to fall and do the work that you've anointed them to do. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, those of you who are baseball fans probably know that on Thursday was opening day. And I'm a baseball fan myself. I'm a fan, I think if I'm not mistaken, I'm a fan of the first baseball team ever to really play American baseball. Certainly the best team. It's the Los Angeles Dodgers. Is that correct? Yeah. I mean, I think there are other teams too, but I don't know their names. But yeah. But it was opening day, you know, and opening day is just really an awesome day. My family and I had an opportunity to go down to Dodger Stadium a few years ago on opening day. And it's just so exciting. I mean, for one thing, there's this holiday atmosphere because it's in the middle of the week. It's in the middle of the day, right? So you're not really supposed to be having fun anyway, and there you are. And then all the kids who are there, they've been taken out of school, so that just kind of bumps up the joy level, the excitement level, you know. And as they fling open wide those gates and everybody goes in, you're hit with the smell, you know, of hot dogs and churros. And even though it's just the beginning of spring, all of a sudden it just feels like summer, you know. And then you look around at Dodger Stadium anyway, you look around at all the people. And the people are just so different. I mean, there's so many different kinds of people there. Owing to the fact, of course, we live in Los Angeles. It's a very diverse community. But also because baseball itself has become a kind of international sport. So you walk into Dodger Stadium, and it's just remarkable. But the thing is, all those people, no matter where they have come from, no matter where they live in the city today, and no matter what the kind of baggage they're bringing with them into that stadium, as soon as they walk through those gates, oh, they're walking into a world that is all about high hopes, all about high expectations, all about happiness. It's all about the anticipation of what's going to happen this year. All about our excitement about the team and their potential. All about turning the page on last year and moving forward. It's all about whether or not this year we will be victorious. That's opening day. This is opening day. In the church, Easter is opening day. This is opening day. It's the day that we celebrate. We celebrate that we are free. Free from our sins. We celebrate that Jesus, even though he was dead and buried, he was raised again. We celebrate that the tomb was open, that he appeared to the women. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to all of his disciples. And then he appeared to 500 others. And he continues to make himself known to people today, to us, to help us, to guide us, to lead us into greater happiness, to make us stronger, to make us more courageous, more compassionate, to make us more like him. And I tell you, whether you come to church once a week, once a year, whether this is the first time you've ever walked into a church and you were kind of hoping you could get out before I started talking, I just tell you one thing for you to know. God has a message for all of us today. That us that God wants to help and guide and make better, that's a wide us. It's a big, big us. It includes everybody, no matter where you've been, no matter what you have done, no matter where you are right now. It's a big us. The gates are flung open wide. It's opening day. You know why? Because that's God's way. That's God's way. And it was Jesus' way. And Jesus proved that every single day that he walked on the face of this earth. See, Jesus had a way with people. And he especially had a way with people that other people, particularly the religious people of his day, that other people like them wanted to avoid. He had a way with those people. He had a way with people who thought they were undeserving of God's love. He had a way with people who thought that they could never be good enough. He had a way with people who thought that they had to clean up before they could look up to God. He had a way with people who thought that they had to undo whatever they had done before they could ever do anything new. But that was not Jesus' way. The religion of the way sort of made people feel that way. And it still can today. But it wasn't Jesus' way. It wasn't Jesus' way. Jesus' way was to fling wide open the gates. Jesus' way was to refuse to condemn a woman who was brought to him once, who had been caught in adultery. Do you remember that story? The religious leaders of the day brought this woman who had been caught in adultery, and they hoped that Jesus would judge her. But Jesus refused to condemn her, refused to let anyone condemn her unless they could show that they were without sin. And when Jesus put it that way, I mean, all of her accusers melted away. Jesus flung open wide the gates of forgiveness. That was Jesus' way. Jesus' way was to tear down barriers between people and between people and God. Jesus told a story to a crowd once, and he told the people in the crowd, he said that they should love their neighbor the way that they love themselves. And a guy in the back, a Jewish guy, raised his hand and he said, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And it was actually a good question, because in those days, hey, a neighbor meant my family, maybe my community, maybe my race, maybe my nation, but that was stretching it. But Jesus told a story. He told a story of a Jewish man who was walking down the road and got hit and was left for dead on the side of the road. He was beaten and left there for dead. And he said, yeah, and two Jewish guys came by, two guys that were of his race and of his nation and of his religion, his neighbors, but they walked right on by. But Jesus said a Samaritan came, someone from another race, another nation. A group that Jewish people had enmity against, he came by and he rescued that man. See, Jesus flung open wide the gates of acceptance, redefining what a neighbor is as the ones who are willing to give mercy to those who are in need. That was Jesus' way. And Jesus' way was to reach out to those people who felt that they had wandered so far from God that they could never find their way back. And if they did, they could never be accepted. But he told a story. He told a story of a young man who insulted his father, turned his back on his family, and went away to a far away country. But Jesus said that father, rather than turn his back on the son, rather than disown that son, instead he came out of his house every single morning. And he scoured the horizon, looking for any glimpse of that beloved son. And when finally he saw that son way, way down the road, that father, he lifted up his robes. He ran as fast as he could. He embraced that son and he called his neighbors and he rejoiced that this son, this beloved son that he thought was lost to him, had returned. Jesus flung open wide the gates of our understanding of who God is. God who is persistent. God who is loving. God who waits. Jesus flung wide open the gates. Now look, Jesus didn't condone adultery. No, he said to the woman, he said, now you go and sin no more. He didn't deny the awfulness of the beating that the man took or the evil of the guys who did the beating. No. He didn't condone turning your back on your family or rejecting God. He didn't do any of that. But in that, he offered forgiveness and mercy and grace. And I wouldn't be surprised but that that woman, when she walked through those gates of forgiveness, that she didn't find God through those gates and didn't change her life. I wouldn't be surprised if not the guy who didn't know who his neighbor was began to look at people who were different a little differently after that and found God. I wouldn't be surprised if people who had always thought that God was just an unyielding kind of tyrant, that they didn't pray a little differently that night. Maybe praying for the grace of God to find them. Oh yeah, listen, listen. Jesus flung wide open the gates so that people who need a new start, who need a fresh word from God, they could find it. They could find it. And that's why, you know, when we celebrate Easter, yeah, we celebrate Easter. We celebrate the fact that God is powerful enough. God is powerful enough to raise a man, to raise Jesus from the dead. But we also celebrate the implication that a God that is that powerful to raise a man, raise up Jesus from the dead, surely he's powerful enough to raise our desperate spirits. Surely he's powerful enough to open wide the gates to every one of us. He is. He is. He is. Take Peter. Y'all remember Peter? Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, his main man, you know. It's like if Jesus' disciples were a baseball team, he'd be the catcher. He's like the heart and the soul of the whole deal, right? Jesus' best friend. You could say he's one of Jesus' best friends for sure. But hey, when Jesus was arrested and tried and convicted by those religious leaders of blasphemy, they accused him of blasphemy, of dishonoring God when they accused him and they tried him and they convicted him. Guess what Peter did? He turned his back on him. When people stood up and told lies about Jesus, Peter declined to defend him. When they scourged Jesus and they flogged him, Peter stood in the background, afar off. And when pressed, he denied he ever knew Jesus. And when Jesus on that cross gave up his life, Peter ran for his. He hid. The Gospels, those records of Jesus' life, the Gospels, they all say that in that moment, Peter wept bitter tears of shame and regret. If there was ever a man who felt undeserving, if there was ever a man who wished he could have undone what he'd done, if there was ever a man who felt afar off from God, it was Peter. But then came opening day. And Jesus rose. Jesus sought out Peter. And Jesus asked him one simple, beautiful question. Peter, Jesus said, do you love me? And Peter, despite everything he had said and not said, despite everything he had done and not done, he said, oh, Jesus, you know I do. And at that moment, the gates were flung wide open to Jesus' forgiveness, to his mercy, to his grace. Jesus told his disciples, when they were all together, he told them, he said, look, I want you to love one another. I want you to love others the way that I have loved you. And then he went out every day and he showed what that love looks like, right? He loved those who felt that they were undeserving of God's love. He loved those who felt that they could never be good enough. He loved those who wished that they could undo what they had already done so that they could do something new. He loved all those people. And when we look at the way that Jesus loved, we're just looking at the way that God loves you and the way he loves me. We're looking at a God who has flung the gates wide open, and it's opening day. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing right now, it's opening day. No matter how firmly you think that the doors are closed to his love, to heaven, to the church, whatever it is, it's wrong. It's opening day. Those days, doors are flung wide open. No matter how firmly you think that you cannot ever have that forgiveness and that freedom, you're wrong. It's opening day, and nothing left is required. There's nothing left to do, nothing left to undo. All we need do is walk through those gates. Walk through those gates and join in that celebration of hope and of happiness, of good expectations and a new life lived with God. It's opening day. It's opening day. It's opening day. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are the kind of God who has his arms reached out to every single one of us, who has opened up his arms and is there to embrace every single one of us. Oh, Lord, we ask, oh, God, that by your Holy Spirit, you break down the barriers, whatever they are, between us and between a life fully given over to you and your love and your grace. Yes, 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 we praise you this Easter day. In the name of that powerful and beautiful Son, amen.